Oh, this is exciting. It really is to take time to be away from the hustle and bustle of home and children and babysitters and cooking. I'm so, so excited about being here. And you know, all the challenges come in about, what, 3 or 4 hours ago when you were just trying to get to this location and finding those babysitters and things start falling through. We have 9 children, and so don't talk to me about babysitters. You have to come to a conference like this. You have to do it very intentionally. When we left Chicago this morning, it was 28 degrees. When we landed here, we first landed in Atlanta, and it was 82 degrees. What a difference that was. But they say marriages are like seasons, and when I compare those two drastic temperatures, you know, we can think about our marriages and kind of compare it to different seasons of our lives. Like you might say winter. Winter is like in our marriage, you could say that it's kind of a cold season, or maybe indifferent, or a season that you're just kind of neglecting each other, living under the same roof and maybe just coexisting. You know, if you were two beings, you know, it's kind of like your backs up are against each other. When I think of the spring, you know, we can compare that to the honeymoon stage where your marriage is very exciting. And it doesn't necessarily happen, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after you're married. It can happen 5 years into marriage, 20 years into marriage, 50 years into marriage. You can be in a spring season of your marriage. And then I think of summer. And summer probably is a very productive season. You know, that's the time of growth. It sure takes a lot of watering. You know, coming to a conference like this, a marriage conference, is a season of summer. Reading books on marriage, you know, listening to maybe a podcast on what God says about my marriage and instilling that. That's a summertime in your marriage where you accept each other's differences. That's a good place to be. And then I think of fall. And fall is a lot like where, you know, on the outside, things look good. You know, that would be the couple where you're just observing them and you're like, oh, they just look like they have a healthy, beautiful marriage on the outside. But on the inside, things are starting to fall. It's just a matter of time. Things are not well. And I compare those seasons for the sake of, it's good to evaluate where we are. Where is my marriage, even when I spoke of those seasons? And if it is that you are in a winter time, you want to progress and move out of that season and find yourself in the spring, in the summer. If it is that you are in the fall and maybe nobody knows about the conflict you carry and the hardship that you have, ladies, let me tell you this, the Lord knows. And he's the healer of all broken hearts. So many times that I have been counseling and I've heard heartaches, really, really heartaches, that I want to say to them, I don't know what to do, but I do. And it's not my answer, it's the word of God. This is a seed. You know, the parable in the scriptures where it talks about the sower and the seed. It's not so much about the sower or the seed, it's about the soil that it falls on. Is it the thorn? Is it the stony ground? Or is it soil that is pliable and ready to take in the seed, which is the word of God? We'll hear a lot of practical thoughts and truths on marriage these next 24 hours. But what kind of soil, what kind of heart is that going to fall on? Let's meet with the Lord for a few minutes. Let's pray. Let's come before him and ask him to meet in our hearts in a special way. I don't want you, your heart and your mind to be distracted. How many times do you get to come to a place like this where you are pulled away? You're just you and your husband. You're going to hear a lot of things and you might take that back to the room and you're going to discuss. And ladies, you're going to need a lot of prayer. You're gonna want to respond in a good way, in the right way. Your timing of it is going to be so important, and definitely your spirit. So let's come before the Lord and ask him to meet with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each lady here. I know you love marriage. I know you designed it. And I know we have a manual here, the Word of God. And in its instruction manual, may we ponder it. May we read it to be wise. May we read it to know what you say about our marriages. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you'll bless it. I pray you'll just work in an incredible way. You know, there's marriages that are really struggling at this point. And then there's marriages that are here that are doing well, but they just want to make a good thing better. Father, meet with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Here are some facts about marriage. Number one, most marriages will hit a wall. You know, I don't want to hear that. I teach a class at the college called Christian Womanhood, and then another one called Woman the Completer. And in that Woman the Completer class, I've got these starry-eyed girls that are about freshmen, juniors, and senior girls that are engaged, and they just kind of like sit at the desk and are just like starstruck. And when I tell them things like, you know, girls, you're going to have to be prepared for this and understand conflict in life and what to do with conflict. And in their minds, they're thinking, no, not me. But the truth is, most marriages will hit a wall. It might be financial loss. It might be your health is failing. It might be that your children are ill or you fight a chronic illness. Might be a death in the family of a loved one. And when those conflicts or challenging times happen, what are you going to do? What will you do when your marriage hits a wall? I'll tell you right now, you ought to decide to stay. You don't decide when that conflict comes what you're going to do. You decide now when things are good. I'm going to stay. That God is always good and he's always right. Number two, Satan is a liar and he's the father of it. I hate the enemy. And I say that with a little bit of fear and trembling because I know that he's the prince and power of the airs. I realize his place and I fearfully state that he's a liar. And he has fed me many, many lies of deception. I think something as women, we mull, we ponder, we think. And in that, it's not always healthy because we allow thoughts to come across our minds that are not true and that are not of the Lord. But I need to learn to discern truth and deception and disillusionment. Number three, these are just facts about marriage, that we are passionate about things that we work on and think about most. May that be our marriages. Number four, to refuse godly counsel is to reject God's plan for safety. Thank you for coming to a couples retreat. You will get counsel. You will have scripture. You will know what God thinks about marriage. And I'm telling you, he thinks it's great. He designed it so beautifully. Number five, focusing on your needs will only ruin a marriage. My wants, my thoughts, my desires, every time will ruin my marriage. Evaluate that next time when you come into conflict. Evaluate that. Is this all about me? Is this all about what I want? You're thinking, what's the pronoun? I. I feel I. It's about me. And when it becomes about me, that marriage is going down a slippery slope. When it's about a greater purpose, when it's about two coming together and being united, understanding that is really going to bring victory in that marriage. But for me to focus on my needs will only ruin it. Number six, church attendance is not a replacement for biblical application. We all belong to a great Bible-believing local Baptist church, and I'm grateful for the church because I get strength from other sisters in Christ.